Now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
A story now from the Wealth and Poverty Desk.
The American dream.
Millionaires, billionaires.
Class warfare.
Paycheck to paycheck.
We pay our fair share.
It's a story about the reality behind the pleasant surprise of today's car sales numbers. Detroit, as you know, has been in trouble for a long time. The decline of the auto industry, the recession, unemployment, none of that is new. But it's one thing to know intellectually that something's happening. It's something else entirely to see it or to hear it. You can do both in a new documentary that's out this week. It's from filmmaker Heidi Ewing and her partner Rachel Grady. Heidi is in studio with me. Also on the line is a featured player in the film, I guess you could say. Tommy Stevens is the owner of the Raven Lounge at the Blues Bar in Detroit. It's good to have you both with us.
Pleasure to be here.
My pleasure.
Heidi, let me start with you and ask, why Detroit and why this film?
Well, I was born and raised in the Detroit area. You know, my parents were really concerned. Things seemed to be sort of bellying out there in the city. And I kept wondering why and what happened here. And I thought maybe there'd be a film to be made there. So we went and sort of blindly, we moved to Detroit with our crew and waited for the city to speak to us and see what story it would tell us. And I think we found something compelling.
Tommy Stevens, do you feel that Detroit has been, even for all the press in the past 4 or 5 years about the auto industry and the bailouts and all that stuff, do you think the real Detroit has been forgotten?
Definitely. Yeah, I came to Detroit right before the riot in 1967, fell in love with it. Detroit was the first major city in America that's suffering what the nation is now suffering. We saw this early, and now we're on our way up.
You believe that? You feel that? Is it in the air?
I see the business coming back now.
There is a scene in the film. It's actually interesting because you are doing what I guess would be called like customer research. You go to the Detroit Auto Show, which is correctly called, I guess, the North American International Auto Show, and you go and you check out the Volt, and then you walk across the hall and you check out the Chinese version of that car. And we're gonna play a clip from the film right now. This is you at the Detroit Auto Show.
It's a better deal. I'm saying, my God.
Right.
I mean, the Volt, even though I wanted to succeed, has some genuine problems at 40-some thousand, and you were talking about 20?
Yes, but 28.
You have to go out, don't you, Tommy Stevens, and figure out what the business environment is, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, I thought the lady did not understand the language and was quoting me the wrong price at 20,000.
Yeah, $20,000 for the BYD for the Chinese version and $40,000 for the Volt. Are you still hopeful now, knowing
that? Well, I do believe that if General Motors continue to work at it, we'll drop those prices down. But my God, $20,000?
Yeah.
That says something.
Heidi, there's another scene I want to ask you about. It seemed to me almost cannibalistic. It's these young kids, young guys, tearing apart what I guess was like an old auto plant, right?
It was an old Cadillac repair shop.
Well, explain that scene to us. I mean, they're literally tearing it apart.
It was a winter evening, and I was with my crew on my way somewhere else, and we saw these sort of sparks flying in this field. And we pulled the car up, and we started slowly walking towards this group of men. And they were basically single-handedly, with very rudimentary tools, disassembling a former Cadillac repair shop. And they were doing that because there was still steel, aluminum, and some copper, which is very valuable. Literally, they called themselves the cleanup crew. They said the city should pay us. And I said, well, where's it going? And they said, well, we take it to the scrap metal shop, and then we're pretty sure it goes somewhere and gets melted down. And I said, and then what? They said, well, what do you think? It goes to China, where they make stuff and then sell it to us for a lot cheaper. As if it was a stupid question of where this was possibly going.
Totally unrelated to doing this interview, I was reading something a couple of weeks ago about the Michigan Central Station, that very, very famous train station, used to be gorgeous train station in Detroit. And somebody called the constant attention on the demise of that structure. They called it decay porn.
Ruin porn. I've heard that term before.
Porn.
Well, we were very careful not to engage in what they call ruin porn. You can't ignore those structures when you make a film in Detroit. That would be also extremely dishonest. And I think we should embrace it. We should look at it. We should talk about it. But if we ignore some of the things that have happened to the city and just talk about, oh, yes, the young artists are saving the city, I'm fearful that everyone's just going to say, oh, it's come back. And it's funny how people just move on. And I'm hoping with this film, people will think again and not just move on.
Can we talk about the ending for a minute?
Spoiler alert?
No, I'm not spoiling
anything.
Nobody
dies.
But this film ended, and it almost felt a little like you set up your case, you made your case, and then you didn't nail it home. You didn't say Detroit is doomed or Detroit's going to rebound. I didn't get that sense.
I think the story of Detroit is open-ended. I think it could go either way. I think this country could go either way. I think Detroit could go either way. So we hemmed and hawed, and we had many different endings. And you know what? We decided it's unknown. It's up to the rest of us, and it's up to Detroit what kind of decisions we're going to make.
The new film from Heidi Ewing and her partner, Rachel Grady, is called Detropia. In it, featured prominently is a guy by the name of Tommy Stevens. He's the owner of the Raven Lounge. It's Detroit's House of Blues. Thank you both for coming in.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.